Hola amigos, and bienvenidos a Undaunted with Robert Swan and NTT Data. I'm your host, Dan Smith, and with NTT Data, and we'll do the rest of this in English. I spent the past 5 days in Punta Arenas at the southern tip of Chile. The Undaunted crew is scheduled to leave from here tomorrow for Union Glacier Camp, which is solidly in the interior of Antarctica and about 600 nautical miles from the South Pole. For the past few mornings, a core group of Undaunted expeditioners have met for breakfast at the Albasor Hotel to ask and answer questions and think through various scenarios and solutions. Then we each have gone off to fulfill our respective tasks for the day. If you've ever planned a family vacation, you're familiar with the madness of final preparations, and then amplify that a bit because you're headed to the coldest, driest, and windiest place on Earth, and there won't be any roadside stops to get a snack or pick up something you forgot. As I record this on December 17th, things have calmed down a good bit because the sledges are all packed and wrapped and all our gear is on the way to the airport for loading onto the plane that will take us on the 4-hour flight to Union Glacier. At the moment, the weather in Antarctica looks good, relatively speaking, so we'll probably be able to fly tomorrow. But the weather changes very quickly and dramatically, so technically we're on standby until we get the call to Vámonos al aeropuerto. This morning, on the half-mile walk from the warehouse back to the hotel, I accompanied Robert and his son, Barney, as they chatted about some last-minute things to pick up at a local store. Robert kindly agreed to stop by my room and share some parting thoughts with all of us, which we'll hear in a bit. You also might hear some of the sounds of Punta Arenas outside my window, and I hope so, because life happens, and it often makes noise in the process. Now, before we hear from Rob, I want to thank the people of Punta Arenas, including the ones making noise, for their patience as I figured out the currency and pricing system, the cashiers and waiters who suffered through my broken Spanish to figure out what I'm really asking for, and the drivers who, on side streets, will stop and turn on their emergency blinkers for a pedestrian to pass. I've come to especially appreciate restaurants that include pictures with their menu. Robert shared a story yesterday about ordering what he thought was a salad, but turned out to be a large pile of chopped meat. And at least a couple of times, I've ended up with something I wasn't expecting, but it's been a fine gastronomical adventure. Despite what gets lost in translation, this is a charming city with wonderful human beings and amazing flora and fauna. It's been especially interesting to walk the same hills that Magellan saw when he passed through the straits that bear his name here 502 years ago. Of course, indigenous residents had been traversing these waters by canoe for a very long time before Magellan sailed past. And it all reminds me that exploration has been part of the human experience from the very beginning, and only the most recent bits of it are recorded in history. The current thinking I've seen speculates that humans first ventured out of Africa around 100,000 years ago and came to inhabit every corner of the Earth. Today, even Antarctica has a small population of humans through its dark, frozen winters. One of the new and most important explorations now is not geographic. It's scientific and economic. It's the search for ways to live sustainably on this planet and to protect and preserve Antarctica as an independent reserve for science and peace. And so, on the day before we're scheduled to fly to that frozen desert, I'm delighted to once again speak with Robert Swan. So, Robert, thanks for stopping by. We're actually in my room at the hotel in Punta Arenas. We have just dropped all of the expedition's gear and the sledges for loading onto the plane. Weather permitting, we'll be flying out tomorrow for Union Glacier. Some of your supporting staff, but then the core team, you, Kyle O'Donohue, and your son Barney, we'll all be leaving tomorrow, weather permitting. So how do you feel at this juncture with the gear now loaded on the plane? How is it now?
Well, it's quite an extraordinary moment, really, because literally in 5 minutes, you move from packing. You move from thinking, did I put those pair of gloves in? Have I got this? Did that arrive? You're in that mode for maybe a week or so in a warehouse here in Punta Arenas. And literally in 5 minutes, suddenly the whole area you've been working in is clear. And everybody's loaded the sledges, everything's gone. And suddenly a feeling inside your stomach knots up, because now it has to happen. now we have to go and face, on Undaunted, the most hostile, difficult place on the planet. And unless one was completely insane, that feeling's good, because it's a sense of fear, a sense of respect of the place, but also a feeling that we've got it right, that we have the right equipment. I have the best team in Kyle and Barney and Rob Smith, who we'll meet in Union Glacier, and the game is afoot. But I would lie to say that suddenly one becomes really very nervous.
So what is the schedule for the trip? Tomorrow is December 18th, and that's the day, weather permitting, that we'll be flying out. What's the schedule then for the first few days at Union Glacier, and then when are you actually setting out for your trek to the pole?
Well, we go into a whole different planet now. 24 hours of daylight, so days really don't exist anymore because it's always daylight. We'll arrive at Union Glacier on the 19th, 18th maybe in the evening, and then we have up until approximately the 25th, 26th, Christmas Day time, when we will then head out by aeroplane from Union Glacier to the point at 88.33 where my hip decided that it had enough and parted company with my body 3 years ago, and then we start walking to the pole. So from the 25th, 26th of December, we will then be going to the South Pole. Our intended arrival date at the pole is the 12th of January. So we're going to have a good time in Union Glacier, doing our very best for all the wonderful supporters, NTT Data, Kohler, and many other people who've made this possible for us to communicate back, make some videos. And for myself, there's a 6 mile loop where you can walk round the whole of the Union Glacier base camp and just get my head round the fact that last time I was wearing skis in the Antarctic is when I had my accident. So I need to get my head round the whole issue of yes, being respectful, yes, being nervous, but getting my head round, feeling quite vulnerable, remembering the pain of a few years ago and getting rid of that. And I can only really get rid of that when I'm on my own walking round the Union Glacier base camp. So I'm going to spend a lot of time doing that.
I've heard you say in some of your presentations that your previous expeditions to the pole, it wasn't really fun. You were head down, gritting your teeth, barreling forward into the wind. I know on this expedition, your son Barney has been really encouraging you to have fun. Do you think this one's going to at least be some fun?
Well, I have to say I've really enjoyed being in Punta Arenas, Chile. Barney has been absolutely magnificent. Kyle is here. You're here, Dan. We've got a great team of people, the Kohler people. They've sent a fantastic team. So actually, I've really enjoyed being here. I think that my commitment to Barney, I'm going to deliver on. I said I will intend to enjoy this. Not every day, not every hour, but overall, that's the overriding thing, that I'm not allowing myself to go into the dark space of just simply doing it. That's what I've done all my life, just done stuff. I want to put my head up, look round, enjoy it, and most importantly, not have that stiff upper lip British attitude that if I'm feeling bad, I'm going to ask Barney, Kyle, and Rob Smith for help and not feel bad about it.
You have fans and followers around the world, and many have reached out to you in advance of this expedition. Do you have any parting words for the audience before you step onto the plane tomorrow, we hope?
Without sounding at all arrogant, which as you know, when none of us are, I think that in a world that is not going too well right now, whether that's environmentally, whether it's war, whether it's people feeling a bit low and depressed, and things are not good. And I think that our final parting message is that I hope that we're being hopeful for people. And I hope that our efforts for the preservation of Antarctica, looking after our planet, are hopeful that we're showing in our own small way that, you know, if you have a dream and you say you're going to do something, it's not a bad idea to do it. So thanks to all our supporters, to NTT Data Systems, to COLA, they've been magnificent, and all the other individuals that have helped us make this happen. And I want to thank everybody for that, and listeners who have just come perhaps for the first time to your podcast, Dan, and I welcome them. Spread the word. 2041 partnership, nttdata.com. Get that out. It will track where we are, and I hope like hell that the tracker is actually moving. That's the most important thing.
Well, on behalf of everyone listening, wish you good luck and Godspeed, and we'll hear from you again in Union Glacier.
Thanks, Dan.
I can't let you go without a cold, hard fact, and here it is. Antarctica is home to several hundred lakes that are buried under glaciers. The largest one we know about is Lake Vostok, a body of fresh water that rivals Lake Ontario for size and lies under about 4 kilometers of ice in East Antarctica. It's what they call a fossil water reserve. It could hold unusual forms of life, scientists are still probing, and it might even hold clues about the water that we suspect is buried on other planets and some of their moons. That's it for this episode, my friends. Until next time, this is Undaunted with Robert Swan and NTT Data. Adios!